Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now, and here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook and Mr. Fletcher Rush. The last named has only just arrived, and he's saying with modest complacence,
"Yes, I do look nice. This is about as nice as I've ever looked.
Shoes polished, trousers pressed, lovely white shirt.
New leather necktie, new corduroy cap.
Yes.
I believe this is as nice as I've ever looked.
Uh-huh.
I took pains, Sadie, honey. A person desires to look nice, and it's necessary to take pains."
"Sure.
You're going to the grand ball, Uncle Fletcher?"
"Are they a grand ball in town this evening?"
"I don't know.
I'll find out if they are and stop in the pavilion long enough to cut a caper or two on the polished floor."
"I bet you're substitute usher at the Banjo Picture Show tonight."
"Sadie, honey, I am meeting the 9:45 o'clock Chicago and Alton train."
"Oh?
That's the reason for me being all dressed up and looking so nice."
"Is your friend Roy dejectedly coming down from Dixon to pay a visit?"
"No.
I bet Mrs. Keller's approaching bridegroom is arriving this evening."
"You people are pretty curious with your wild guesses."
"Yes, I expect we are."
"It's natural. I walk in here with a new leather necktie and a new corduroy cap on, and of course you people wonder what's up."
"We're terrible nosy fellas."
I expect it's rude, but I was forced to laugh at your wild and far-fetched guesses." I'm not hanging back from revealing what's in the wind. I'll tell you why I'm meeting the 9:45 Chicago and Alton train."
"All right."
"Mr. Harry Feedburn, my landlady, Miss Keller's approaching bridegroom from Yellow Jump, North Dakota, arrives tonight on the 9:45 Chicago and Alton train."
"Well, I guessed that, Uncle Fletcher."
Fine.
"You said it was a wild and far-fetched thing."
"Wild and far-fetched, yes."
"Oh, what do you care?"
"I don't care, I guess.
I have already communicated with the station master by telephone. He assures me he knows of no reason why Feedburn's train shouldn't pull in on time."
"It hasn't even left Chicago yet."
"Beg pardon, Vic, honey?"
"9:45 train is made up in Chicago and won't leave there for some time yet. How in thunder would the station master have any information concerning
the... What's the idea of this now? You'd like to have a fine, big, silly argument, huh?"
"I'm afraid Vic just doesn't understand the matter, Sadie, honey."
"You're right, Uncle Fletcher. I don't. I'm talking through my head. Feedburn's arriving at 9:45, huh? I bet you'll be glad to see him."
"I accept your apology, Vic."
"Well, this is real exciting. Has the wedding date been set yet?"
"I haven't quite decided on that yet."
"Are you setting the wedding date?"
"Oh, sure. That's been thrown in my lap along with all the other details."
"Well, you say you haven't quite decided on the exact date?"
"No, I haven't. No, I haven't. I may make it 2 weeks from today. I may make it 2 weeks from tomorrow. In fact, I'm not positive when I may make it."
Where did Mr. Feedburn finally decide to stay?"
"You needn't be embarrassed bringing up that subject, Sadie, honey.
Mm.
I hold no hard feelings in the matter. I let bygones be bygones. You don't have to allow your eyes to drop and your lip to tremble. The case is closed and the hatchet is buried."
"Well, I don't know if there was any particular hatchet."
"It isn't necessary to add another word."
"You suggested I ought to invite your landlady's man to come live here 2 weeks."
"Yes, I did."
"He's a total stranger to me."
"Leave the matter drop, Sadie, honey. Leave the matter drop. I hold no grudge."
"Well, there's no reason why you should hold any grudge."
"Now, who's thinking?"
"Since these 900 million half-wit details were tossed in my lap, it was natural for me to look around at my loved ones for sympathy and cooperation."
"Oh, yes, sympathy and cooperation."
"Sympathy and cooperation was all I asked."
Now, who's thinking?
"Uncle Fletcher, there's not one single smidgen of sympathy or cooperation mixed up in this. Why should I open up my house to a total, complete stranger for 2 weeks? He's a well-to-do man. You told me so yourself. And there's a lovely grand hotel here in town. Why on earth should I take in an utter stranger for 2 weeks just because..."
"I refuse to quarrel with you, Sadie, honey. I refuse to quarrel with you. Perhaps I'd best go meet my train."
"No, stick around. Quarrel some more. Besides, this fancy Chicago train you're going to meet hasn't even left Chicago yet."
"No, it just so happened that I attempted to make the arrangements to which you objected because of Harry Feedburn being my approaching landlady."
Well, he's not my approaching
landlady. My approaching landlady's bridegroom is what I mean.
Oh, yes, Uncle Fletcher, we're acting crazy.
I hold no grudge.
Well, no, of course you don't.
Where is Mr. Feedburn going to live during the interim prior to his getting married?
He's stopping at the Butler House Hotel.
Oh?
He will occupy the bridal suit.
Really?
It was considered fitting and proper that he occupy the bridal suit.
Yeah, sure.
Hmm.
Well, hey, where's Hank Goodstop?
Hank Goodstop?
You said Feedburn was going to occupy the bridal suite. Hank Goodstop lives there.
That arrangement was made with Hank.
Oh?
Mr. Feedburn will share the bridal suit with Hank. There's plenty of room.
Uh-huh.
You see, Vic, honey, Hank Goodstop, as house detective at the hotel there, occupies a bridal suit free.
Oh, yeah? Uh-huh.
Well, he's willing to share his quarters for consideration.
Oh, uh-huh. A deal. Feedburn made a deal with Hank.
I made the deal with Hank.
Huh?
I made the deal with Hank. Feedburn will share the bridal suit, and the money that changes hands is quite fair and reasonable.
Well, Hank's got nothing to lose, whatever he gets out of it.
The management of the hotel, of course, are not privy to the matter.
I bet not.
Feedburn will slink in and out of the establishment during periods when the desk clerk's attention is fixed on some other direction. Yes, it was thought fitting and proper that Mr. Feedburn occupy the bridal suit during the 2 weeks prior to his wedding.
A very nice arrangement.
My idea.
A mighty good one.
Yes. And as you likely know, I've had dozens of others, but it's running me ragged. I've got to be careful.
Yes, sir. You'll get caught up in the frenzied floodgates of activity and be destroyed.
Destroyed against the rocks.
Exactly.
It's been an enormous undertaking. I'd never tackle it again in 1,000 years. Why, I no more than get 30 or 40 details arranged and some new problem arises. A new problem arose just this noon.
What was that?
My landlady, Miss Keller, all of a sudden got lukewarm.
On the idea of getting married?
Yes, on the idea of getting married.
Well, tell us about it.
Was at the dinner table this noon. She passed several strange, peculiar remarks. I didn't think nothing about it for a while. But I began to prick up my ears. Pretty quick, I got the drift.
She was getting lukewarm on the notion of getting married, huh?
She was getting lukewarm on the notion of getting married.
Why?
Well, you see, she'd been bothered by this, that, and the other thing in recent months. Some of her best hens quit laying. Her teeth didn't fit right. She was afraid she needed stronger glasses. I don't know. A whole batch of annoyances was stuck in her craw. She felt like she needed a husband's protection.
Uh-huh.
Well, here early in the week, her troubles kind of disappeared. Her hens begin to lay. Doc Keeby fixed her teeth so they sit in her mouth proper. Her eyes felt all right again. This, that, and the other thing happened. And she began to wonder why she should go through with all the bother and nuisance of getting married.
Well, gee.
Just another problem for me to solve.
But goodness.
I'll straighten it out.
But here's the bridegroom arriving in town and the bride all of a sudden beginning to change her mind.
I'll iron the numbskull situation out. No, I'll adjust the flathead better.
Mm.
But like I say, it's been a real undertaking. I hire the preacher, I buy the ring, I engage the carriage that carries a happy couple home, I arrange for the best man at the ceremony, I take the honeymoon to Heliopolis by myself, I reserve the bridal suit for the lame-brained bridegroom, and I even have to talk the feeble-minded bride into getting married. Tomorrow, my George Feedburn might get cold feet, and that'll be up to me to straighten him out. It's no child's play, I can tell you.
Gee, no.
But I plan to stick with her and turn in as neat a job on it as is humanly possible. No, I haven't just decided on a date for the wedding yet.
Mm.
I may make it 2 weeks from today. I may make it 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Mm.
I'll cipher it out. Mm. I'll cipher it out.
Yeah, sure you will.
Well, you think I look nice, do you?
Just grand.
Yes. I look pretty nice.
Shoes polished, trousers pressed, lovely white shirt.
New leather necktie. New corduroy cap.
Yes.
Yes, I look nice. I believe this is as nice as I've ever looked.